Good morning, and welcome to historic Main Street United Methodist Church for our morning worship service. Now, because I am standing and you are seated, do not mistake me for a performer or yourselves for an audience. God is our audience, and we are all worshipers. So I invite you to sing and pray and pay attention and be alert to the presence of God. And so that you may do your duty of being a worshiper, I invite you to take a moment of silence and say to the Lord, I have come to worship you. Brothers and sisters, let us stand before the Lord. Blessed be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen. Psalm 145, I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall laud your works to another and declare your mighty acts. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his compassion is over all he has made. Our hymn of praise is number 98, To God Be the Glory. Thank you. If you'll notice, before our opening prayer, I bless you. And then you bless me back. And then we pray. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, yours is the right and power to interrupt every life and all our plans. Yours is the election and the call, and unless you sound our names, we do not know where to turn. We thank you for the call of Simon Peter and the first disciples who heard the challenge of Jesus and obeyed. We thank you that such a life is still available today. Send your Holy Spirit to illumine the Scriptures and set the words on fire, that in the reading and in the preaching and in the hearing, we may find ourselves addressed by the same voice who first said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Unstop our ears, soften our hearts, and give us courage to say yes to the new life and mission you offer. Speak to us now, O Lord, as we wait before you in silence. Amen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Seated, turn to someone and say, "I'm glad you made it to Main Street this morning. I'm glad you made it to Main Street this morning. I'm glad you made it to Main Street this morning."
Glad I made it too.
We want to welcome all our members and visitors, and those of you on the inside aisle have a duty to pick up the registration pad, sign your name, and pass it down to everyone, mark the boxes that apply to you. I remind you that everything good that happens in this church happens because of prayer, which is why we have a 30-minute meeting for prayer every Thursday evening in the chapel, and you are invited to join us. You're doing better. I noticed that when the chime was rung today, you got quiet. I want to encourage that kind of behavior. As you go out of the church today, there's a musical stand, and there's a copy of our Midweek Connections. There's also a copy of a brochure on a new class we're going to be teaching called Alpha that you will want to be familiar with. Since seeing you last Sunday, I have preached three times. I preached at Wesley Commons last Sunday. I preached at Faith Home early Tuesday, and at the Watson Hayden wedding last night. I love to preach, and I'll be at Wesley Commons tomorrow at 10 o'clock for coffee. I remind you that sermon copies are available at the front after the service. And if you hear rumors in town of a pastor who was seen shagging with his wife at a party, it is true. You know, I didn't know about Greenwood. You know, you live in the western part of the state, and I just didn't know. But when I found out this week that the swinging medallions are from Greenwood, I said, "These are my kind of people."
Our reading today is from Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed, and your sin is blotted out. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and say to this people, Keep listening, but do not comprehend. Keep looking, but do not understand. Make the mind of this people dull, and stop their ears and shut their eyes, so that they may not look with their eyes and listen with their ears and comprehend with their minds, and turn and be healed. And then I said, How long, O Lord? And he said, Until cities lie waste without inhabitants, and houses without people, and the land is utterly desolate, until the Lord sends everyone far away. And vast is the emptiness in the midst of the land. Even if a tenth part remain in it, it will be burned again. Like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains standing when it is felled, the holy seed is in its stump. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please stand for Psalm 138. I sing. I give you thanks, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I sing your praise.
I bow down before your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness.
For you have exalted your name and your word above everything.
On the day I called, you answered me. You strengthened my life. I sing.
All the rulers of the earth shall praise you, O Lord.
For they have heard the words of your mouth.
And they shall sing of the ways of the Lord.
For great is the glory of the Lord.
For the Lord is high, but regards the lowly.
Yet knows the haughty from afar.
Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life.
You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me.
O Lord, fulfill your purpose for me.
O Lord, make your steadfast love endure forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands.
Invite the children forward for the children's message.
Good morning. Good morning. Well, school is starting for me this week, and for many of you next week, is that right? What's one important skill that all of your teachers are going to really want you to work on this year. Hint, hint, it has something to do with your ears. Ah, you are so smart. You are going to make straight A's this year. I can tell. What great listeners you already are. You're right, it's listening. If you don't listen in school, you're not going to know the answer on the test, are you? If you don't listen when they holler out your order number at Migs, you're not going to be able to get that delicious Philly steak and cheese sub. If you don't listen at home, you might get in a lot of trouble with your parents. If you don't listen in life, you're going to miss out on a lot of important stuff. I'm going to do a quick little exercise, and I'm just going to tap a few of you to come and stand beside me. That's good. And make a line beside me. Chop, chop. Stand beside me. Here, we'll do it right here. That way nobody has to move. Just stand and face the congregation. All right, that's fine too. This is an exercise that I do in my drama class. It's called telephone. And I'm going to whisper into your ear a message. I can only say it one time. That's the rules. I'm sorry. That's just the way it goes. And you have to whisper into her ear what you think I said. And you have to whisper into her ear. And let's see how quickly we can do this. Are you ready? I'm only going to do it once. Whisper to her what you think you heard. Bennett, would you whisper and help? You can be the telephone operator who like buzzes in on the party line. Okay. What was the message that you heard from her?
I didn't really.
Oh, she can only do it one time. But I'll just sort of fudge a little bit. Do it one more time. Just whatever you think. This is the fun part.
Be listening when God tells you.
That's awfully close to my original message. My original message was, will you be listening when God calls you? Very good. Have a seat. Let me squeeze in there. God called a young boy, not a whole lot older than you guys, named Samuel, to follow him. Well, you guessed it, Samuel. I don't think it wasn't that he was a good listener. I just think he was maybe a little confused because he didn't really expect it to be God talking to him, but it was. And so he didn't really understand the message. But eventually, after God asked several times if he would follow him, Samuel listened and he understood that it was God asking. And he said, of course I will. I hear you. I listen. I obey. Here I am. Use me however you want to, God. God calls all of us, even boys and girls as young as you, to do really special works in your lives for other people in his name. Will you be listening and will you be ready when God calls you? Okay, let's have a quick prayer. Ready? You can repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for all of the opportunities you give us to listen. Thank you for all of the opportunities you give us to listen. Help us to hear you. Help us to hear you. When you call us, when you call us, amen. And have a great first week back at school when you guys go, and remember to always listen.
If you will take out your bulletin for a reading of United Methodist doctrine from the Confession of Faith on the Holy Scriptures. It's only four lines, but it's carefully written. It tells us what the Bible is for and what it is not for. As United Methodists, we believe the Holy Bible, Old and New Testaments, reveals the Word of God so far as necessary for our salvation. In Scripture, divine revelation is found. It is to be received through the Holy Spirit as the true rule and guide for faith and practice. The Holy Spirit is the true interpreter, and rightly read, the Scripture gives us what to believe and how to behave. The last line is to prevent any preacher from foisting upon you doctrines that are not grounded in Scripture. Whatever is not revealed in or established by the Holy Scriptures is not to be made an article of faith, nor is to be taught as essential to salvation. If you will look on the back of your Scripture sheet, you will see a chart there I've been working on for several years. In the left column are a series of statements about the rigors of ancient Christian discipleship. And in the right column, you will see where we are today, which is American church or club membership. And our goal is to move as many people from the right column to the left column as possible. Our text today is Luke chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, to which I've given the title, What It Means to Be a Disciple. On the right side of the sheet, you will see a number of boxes. Those are the parts of an ancient call and commission story. You notice the story begins with the words two boats and land. It closes with those same words, which tell me this is a paragraph. At the center in verses 6 and 7 is a miracle. On either side of this are dialogues between Peter and Jesus. A very carefully constructed call story about the call of the first apostle. When the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And Jesus saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked to be put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had ceased speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a great shoal of fish, and as their nets were breaking, they beckoned to their partners in the other boats to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so they began to sink. But when Simon saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For Peter was astonished, and all who were with him, at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were also partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth, you will be catching men." And when they brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One snowy morning at 5 a.m., a missionary candidate rang the bell at the door of the agency to which he was applying. He was ushered in, and there he sat for 3 hours past his appointment with no one coming to speak to him. Finally, at 8 a.m., a retired missionary appeared and began the interview with this question, "Can you spell?" Mystified, the candidate said, "Yes, sir." "All right, then, spell Baker. B-A-K-E-R. Do you know anything about numbers?" "Yes, sir." "Please add 2 plus 2. 4, the would-be missionary replied. "That's fine," said the examiner. "You've passed the test. I will tell the board tomorrow." At the board meeting, the examiner explained his strange method. "First, I tested him on self-denial, making him arrive at 5 a.m. He left a warm bed on a snowy day and came without complaint. Then I tested him on promptness. He was on time. Then patience. He waited 3 hours to see me. Next, I tested his temper, and he failed to show any anger or aggravation. I finally tried his humility by asking him questions any child could answer. The candidate meets all the requirements. He will make a fine missionary. So with our friend Simon Peter. He was being tried and tested, examined and exposed in ways he would only later understand. Would he serve when exhausted? Would he obey when it went against common sense? What would he do when Jesus exposed the worst in him and he was called to abandon his life and all that he had ever known? Would Jesus choose the financial blessing of the fish, or would he choose the blesser? Would he take the goods and run, or would he leave the goods and follow? It began as another night's work, but that day his conversion and call dawned. For fishermen like Peter, the image of discipleship comes from his life of fishing. He was a fisherman, and now he is to fish for people. If Peter had been a banker, Jesus would have called him to build capital for God. If Peter had been an auto parts manager, God would have called him to increase the market share. Had he been a physician, Jesus would have called him to make people whole and not just well. If Peter had been a lawyer, Christ would have called him to argue God's case before a waiting world. The fact that Jesus used the image of fishermen, which Peter knew well, for his new vocation means that your job and your vocation can be a bridge for you into the kingdom of God. God can use what you already know to teach you what you could never learn apart from Christ. Now, I've been a Christian since I was baptized in 54. I've been an adult disciple since I was 19. And I've been through three or four waves of renewal in the church, the largest one being the Jesus movement of the early 70s. Most pastors in their mid-50s to mid-60s all across America were swept into the faith and into Christian service by the great Jesus movement of the late 1960s and early 70s. And then came the charismatic movement. Then came the missions movement. So I've seen waves of renewal come, but one thing is constant whenever God begins to stir his people for revival, and that is a hunger for God's Word. You'll find people going to Bible studies at lunch and getting up early. They just can't get enough of Scripture. But when people complain about the worship service going 1 minute past noon, or that too much Bible is read in the service, it tells you that people are in an advanced stage of spiritual narcolepsy and spiritual hunger. They cannot recognize the food that is being put in front of them. It was early in the morning. Word was that Jesus was going to be teaching near Capernaum. And so a flood of people came after sunrise to hear Jesus teach. And then perhaps to see the teaching acted out in the signs of the kingdom. See, Jesus did a lecture, then Jesus did a lab. Jesus would teach the kingdom of God in the power of the Spirit. He would cast out demons, heal the sick, and do forgiveness. What he did here. He taught, and then he did a miracle. Now, folks, can you imagine having the Son of God teaching the Word of God to the people of God in the power of the Spirit of God? Is it any wonder that the people gathered by the hundreds and thousands to listen to Jesus? And they were so eager that day to hear him that they began to move in and press closer. So Jesus found himself toe deep and then ankle deep and then knee deep in water. Now you think about it. Peter and Jesus had different experiences the previous night. Jesus had slept well. Peter had worked all night because in the ancient world, nobody fishes on the Sea of Galilee during the daytime. The water's too clear. And with the linen nets they used, the fish just swim away. So if you had gone in Jesus' time and 2 o'clock in the morning, you'd have gone out and seen the moon over the Middle Eastern sky and all the stars, and you'd have looked across the Sea of Galilee to pagan territory, and you'd have seen all kinds of torches out there moving around because they fished by torchlight with linen nets. And Peter's worked all night and caught nothing. Jesus worked first and second shift. Peter worked third shift. Jesus had a fruitful day. Peter did not catch a single fish. Jesus is rested. Peter is exhausted. Jesus blew out a lamp to go to bed. Peter fished all night by torchlight. Not a single fish. It was a day of labor. But before Peter could go home, rub some Bengay on his muscles and get a meal and go to sleep and prepare for the next night fishing, he had to wash his net because linen nets rot. And so you have to clean them, and where they're torn, you have to stitch them, and then you hang them over racks, and the breezes off the Sea of Galilee dry them. So there Jesus is teaching the people, and Peter's getting ready to go home, wrapping up his job, and Jesus is backing up into the water. Peter, I need your boat. And Peter says, yes. And so you got probably Peter and Andrew on one side and James and John on the other. They're waist deep in water. They're steadying the nets. And they have fished all night. And they are tired. How many of you know that it's easier to serve someone when you're well rested and when it's convenient? But that it is a test of character to serve when you are tired. When you're fighting off the cobwebs, when you've been busy all night long and you just want to go home. You see, folks, your character is being tested every day. If you walk down a hall of this church or across our property, come in and you see a piece of paper and leave it for somebody else to pick up, it says something about your character. But if you're one of the people that get here early and stay late and just do what needs to be done, if you go in the bathroom and something's out of order and you don't come to me and complain, you just fix it. That is the kind of people that Jesus is looking for. Not those who want to be served, but those who will serve in humble ways. Jesus was testing Peter's character, and Peter passed the test. And then there was test number two. Jesus finished the teaching. Peter says, I can go home now. Jesus turns to Peter. Go out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. You see, the water near the edge of the shore is light blue, and then it drops off in the Sea of Galilee. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I know men, and men don't like you to mess with their work unless you know something about it. And here's a carpenter turned preacher telling a 9-generation fisherman how to run his business. And Peter complains, Lord, we toiled all night. All night. 12 hours and caught nothing. Are you sure? But at your word, I will obey. Would Peter serve when he was tired? Would Peter obey when it went against his professional judgment? Yes. You see, Jesus knows more about fishing than Peter does. Jesus knows more about lawyering than the lawyers, more about banking than the banking, more about accounting than the accountants. And you have to decide, is he going to be your senior partner in your business? So Peter got the nets off the racks, put him back in the boat. He knew if they got in the water, he'd have to wash them and dry them again. It would be several hours before he ever got to sleep, and he was tired, but he was committed to obeying Jesus. So you see those boats with James and John. You see them row out past the water to the deep, and they put in their nets, and the boats are drifting, and all of a sudden the boat stopped. And you hear a creaking sound. And you watch those nets begin to stretch and some of those linen sinews begin to pop. And all of a sudden, 3 boats have their nets full. About 3/4 of a ton per boat. Now, how many of y'all know that when something wonderful happens, the adrenaline kicks in? And when Peter looked in those nets, all his tiredness evaporated. All he saw was money. He could take his wife out for a date at Fin and Filet. He could get the tires on his car fixed. He could patch that hole at the local synagogue. He could put some aside for a rainy day. It was a 2-week free paycheck. And you see the mussels haul in, and pretty soon these 20-foot-long fishing boats are full to the gunwales with fish, so full that 3 boats are beginning to sink. And Peter's knee are waist-deep in fish, and then it hit him. He obeyed Jesus, and Jesus did a miracle. Not because he saw the fisherman up on the hill, because the Father told the Son in the power of the Holy Spirit what to do, and the Son obeyed, and then Peter obeyed. How many Christians have missed a miracle because they've not obeyed the Lord when it didn't make professional sense for them? It's very interesting. Peter doesn't say, "Look at all the fish." He says, "Lord," he's on his knees. Now, folks, if the boat is full to the gunwales and Peter's on his knees, it means he's up to his waist in fish. And Jesus, don't you love the picture of Jesus in the boat smelling like 3/4 of a ton of fish? Can't you see him throwing back his mane of hair and laughing out loud at what God has done? And Peter drops to his knees. "Get away from me. Get out of my boat. We don't belong in the same universe. You're holy. You're in touch with God's power and abundance. And I am a sinful man." That was the truest thing Peter had ever said. All his sins flooded up in his mind. It was not because some preacher condemned him or someone read the Ten Commandments. He was pushed to his knees by the blessing of God. Now, we give altar calls and we sing songs, and sometimes we drop our net and some people get caught in it. But the best altar calls is when Jesus Christ himself pushes someone into a position of humility with his blessing. Peter was crushed by the abundance of God. Peter needed to know that God could provide for his family if he followed Jesus. Peter needed to know that the word of Jesus, the prophet, is always true and always to be obeyed. Peter needed to know that what God orders, God will pay for. Don't be afraid, Peter. Don't be afraid of your sins. We can deal with those. I'm calling you to a new adventure. I'm going to teach you how to catch people in God's nets and draw them into the kingdom. Your new life begins today. And they left everything. They pulled the boats up on shore. They left the nets. Can you imagine leaving 3/4 of a ton of fish in 3 boats? But Simon and Andrew and James and John left him there for Zebedee. Zebedee was the only one who had a payday that day. He sold 3 boats of fish and moved to Lake Greenwood for retirement. There is a dream in the heart of every man and woman, and that's to be of significance. So start where you are. Where you are is your place of service until God sends a new set of orders. You're not at some dead end. You're where God has you. Serve, fish, paint, do whatever you do to the glory of God. And God is fully able to break in and bless you and call you to something new and different. Now, why do we retell these stories? Because the risen Jesus is here today. He's still interrupting our lives. And he's still calling people. So what's in your hands? Is it a checkbook? Is it a piece of property? Is it a feeling of familiarity? What's keeping you from being a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ? Whatever it is, it's not worth holding on to. Be like Peter. Be the person who serves when you're tired and when it's inconvenient. Be like Peter. Be the kind of person who will obey Jesus Christ in the details when it goes against your judgment. Be the kind of person like Peter that God can open your heart and give you forgiveness and some kind of new call. Be the kind of person who at 70 or 80 or 90 or 100 can still be on a lifelong adventure with Jesus Christ. That is how I intend to live. I wake up every day thanking the Lord that I get to enter His work that day. And there is good work to do. Yes, I have fatigue, but I'm rarely, rarely without a sense of adventure and call and hope and promise. I want to put my feet in the steps of St. Peter and the other apostles. I want to be a pastor in the apostolic faith of drawing people into God's nets and into the boat of this church. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to stand and sing with me the first and last stanzas of hymn number 398, Jesus Calls Us. Please stand. Hebrews 13, these words are found: do good and share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Our ushers are prepared now to receive your tithes and offerings, and you may be seated. for a Bible full of great stories, and for a church that wants to hear the Word of God. Let us stand and give our thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. Lord, more than money or power or ease or even joy, we pray that you would unleash in our hearts and minds an insatiable hunger for your word, that we may read it, study it, mark it, and meditate upon it, and learn to walk in the truths that you have laid before us in this great book. Lord, since we live this side of the kingdom on contested territory, we pray again as Jesus taught. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As instructed in your bulletin, please turn to page 39 for the service of Baptismal Covenant 2, and I'll ask our lay leader to join me and ask the Marino family to come forward. This is one, not two, right? Okay. Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we're initiated into Christ's holy church. We're incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. Rebecca and Don, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? I never get tired of this next vow, friends. Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior? Put your whole trust in His grace. Promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. Will you nurture Quinn Marshall in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? And to now read number 8 for the congregation. Do you, as Christ's body of the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
Amen.
And as Christians have done since at least the 2nd century, let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments and in the questions and answers of the Apostles' Creed. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the 3rd day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those in the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of Mary's womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to the nations. Declare his works to the nation. His glory among all the people. His glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, Quinn Marshall may share in Christ's final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Isn't it a comfort to know that Jesus himself was once a two-year-old? We present Quinn Marshall for Christian baptism. If you'll lay him down. Over the font. Quinn Marshall, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the blessed Holy Spirit. And God's people said,
Amen.
And hold him up. Quinn, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross as Christ's own forever. The Holy Spirit work within you, that all your life long you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. And Mary, if you'll walk this child about halfway down the aisle.
Okay.
So everybody can see this wonderful new Christian. Because you and your brother are the light of the world. Can you believe it? Now can you talk? Yes. Quinn Marshall. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Jesus also said, you are the light of the world. Quinn, may your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And we have a baptismal certificate also for this family. And we conclude our baptismal service in the beginning of the Christian life with this child with a special blessing upon these parents. The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, establish and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. And our service is ended, and y'all can go back and have a seat. Our final hymn is a hymn for the baptism of the children of Christian parents, and it teaches our theology. So I invite you to sing it with me, number 605, Wash, O God, our sons and daughters. us, O God, our Rebecca and Don maybe come out to stand here. And I hope that many of you will come greet them, that you'll shake their hands. You'll invite them to your Sunday school. And after they check you out, maybe offer to be a babysitter. So that once a month they can have a date and remember why they got married. We are responsible for this child. We are responsible for this family. A Christian from the second century in Rome would recognize our worship service today. They would not recognize the magnificent building because they met in homes and catacombs. They would recognize the deep Christian pattern that we gathered in prayer and praise, that the scriptures were read and opened, that the people prayed, that new Christians were welcomed into the family, and that the saints were sent forth as salt to season the world. We have not done something new today. We've done something very ancient. Greenwood will be a different place because you've been here today. So serve and take risks and obey Christ and do not protect your reputation. Protect His. And there you will find a blessing too big to know what to do with. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.